All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Tim's here. I'm here. How you doing, Tim? Long time no see.
I know. Yeah, I'm doing good. How you doing? You seem busy today.
Oh, my gosh. Like, lots of stuff going on, but it's okay. Busy is good, but stressful. Stressful. But let's jump into it. I don't want to waste too much time. Like you said, I'm busy. We got stuff to do. But first of all, this episode is brought to you by Bet365, our proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use code HOCKEYCA. It's available to everybody, but use code HOCKEYCA. So go for it, USA. We're very excited to have Bet365 as a partner. Head on over there. You know what I mean, Tim?
That's right.
Win some money. Listen to Tim. Listen to me. We will never steer you wrong, except for this next one, because Tim thought they were going to come back, and so did I. Florida Panthers defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, eliminating them in five games. Shocker, I think, out of all the series, we thought this one was going to go to seven. It was going to go the distance. Tampa Bay Lightning playing well down the stretch. Florida Panthers always seem to pick it up in the playoffs and did not disappoint this time, but boy, oh boy, pretty uneventful. Game five, Florida Panthers just, I know there was some controversy, some disallowed goals, which I agree with John Cooper. Those should have been good goals, especially that first one. Anthony Duclair did nothing to Sergei Bobrovsky, just had his skate there and then disallowed goal. I don't understand what's going on there. I was reading some, you know, comments, some, I don't know what you call them, forums or whatever. And someone made a good analogy. The NHL goalie is slowly becoming like the NFL quarterback, where they're putting in place all these rules to protect him. You got to stay out of his crease. You can't touch him. You can't be in his way. That it's just becoming impossible to have net front battles anymore. You can't screen him. You can't push the defenseman out of the way. You really have to be a good foot outside of the crease in order to be effective at all, because if you even come close to the goaltender, they're going to take his side, call off a goal, call a penalty, whatever it may be. So it's just gone are the days of like just net front battles. Cross-checking, jostling for position, bumping into the goaltender, you know, just having a good battle in front of the net. And it's funny how it shifted. Back in the 90s, they had you can't touch the blue paint, no goal. Like, even if your skate lace is in the crease, it's a no goal. The infamous Brett Hall goal in Game 6 over the Buffalo Sabres, where his toe was in the crease and it should have been called a no goal, but the confetti had already dropped, and so they just let it go. They got rid of that rule. Then it was just mayhem in front of the nets. And then they instituted this rule of goaltender interference, this and that. So I think it's gone the other way now, where we really just have to find a happy medium. And I don't think that Tampa series was indicative of that, because those two goals should have been good. What was your take on that, Tim?
Yeah, it was. I agree. And you know, the Lightning fans, the Lightning players, all that have a right to be upset about it. But at the end of the day, Florida was the better team throughout. Yeah. Even through five games, you know, I think last night could have been closer. It could have gone either way, but Florida's just that good. And they're missing one of their key players in Sam Bennett, who's been hurt since game one or two. And he's looking like he could be ready for game one of the next series. But yeah, they're just so good top to bottom. And I think they're outplaying Bobrovsky, outplayed Vasilevsky and the forwards and all that. So the better team moved on. I was surprised it didn't go further, you know, six or seven games, but it is what it is. And now Tampa's got some questions this offseason.
Huge questions. And one that we've spoke on before, Steven Stamkos, their captain, been there since he's 18 years old. I thought they were going to trade him at the deadline. I thought they should have traded him at the deadline. They stuck with him. They indicated that they were going to re-sign him, that talks are in progress. They were maybe going to wait till the end of the playoffs to kick the tires on that. But based on Steven Stamkos' reaction after the last game, it doesn't look like he is thinking he's going to be back. You're a Tampa insider, Tim. Everybody knows it. You love going down to Miami, jumping over to Tampa Bay. What have you heard down in the Sunshine State?
Well, you watch the video after the game, and it was in Florida, you know, in Sunrise, but still, you know, he was looking around, you know, and he got an ovation from the crowd, and he's kind of looking around the same way that Bergeron did last year after game 7.
I did it too in Montreal after my last game.
Yeah, me too. Club hockey 2012.
Take it in.
Yeah. And then, but you're like, it was very reminiscent of that where you're like, he's emotional and you know, obviously he's not retiring, but he is possibly his last game in that uniform. So that did remind me of that. He spoke this morning and he said a big part of it, I think this is important when you factor the human element to where these guys are people in addition to athletes. He's got a young family that's very much settled into this area, like the kids, the wife, their social life, their neighborhood, all that. So that's going to have an impact there. He said he's always wanted to play in Tampa. That hasn't changed. But the question that comes back to mind for me is like, okay, if he takes a hometown discount and say it's, you know, $4 million, something like that, say it's half of what he's been making, don't you think that would have happened already?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if that was going to happen, and they both teams, and he said, like, you know, the team has reached out to his agent, but don't you think that this is something that would have been agreed before we even got to this point?
That's a really good point, because I'm sure they've had conversations. Julien Brisebois is not one to sit on his hands. Like, he's an aggressive GM. He goes out there, but maybe Stamkos' side has just said, maybe we'll wait. Because, wouldn't he have traded them? Looking at their salary cap situation, they have roughly $70 million tied up next year in salary caps. So that's a lot of money, and they still have some defensemen to sign. They only have four defensemen under contract. Brandon Hagel's contract kicks in next year, pays him $6.5 million. It's going to be tight. And your weakness this year, it was your defense. So do you want to pour more money into your offense when you know Kucherov and Point and Cirelli and all these guys can produce, a Shiri, a Hagel? You don't really necessarily need to invest in the forwards as much as you do the back end. Sergachev, him being out, was very noticeable. Edmund Chernak, Dumba did not work out whatsoever. There is a need on the back end. So would you rather, if you're Julien Brisebois, go and spend on a defenseman? Use that $4, $5, $6 million, whatever Steven Stamkos needs, to get a really good top flight defenseman. I think you have to go that route. You have weaknesses. The biggest glaring weakness is on the back end. So it'll be an interesting offseason, because if he's available, pretty fun guy to grab on your team. 34 years old, obviously have injury issues, but he's still a good hockey player. He can keep up. He can put the puck in the net. He would be a good guy to have maybe on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's the rumor, and he's from that area. Maybe kick the tires
on him. Yeah, Mitch Marner's gone. He did get 81 points this year in 79 games, and he has that playoff pedigree that is so desperately needed in Toronto, it seems like. Every single year, they just miss that it factor that Steven Stamkos seems to have, but I don't know. It would be hard to see him in another jersey. It really would. We've said it before, and it's happened, obviously, but he's been there for, what, 16 years?
I think he comes back. I think he does. 3 years, 2 years at $4 million per, and I think he'll be back.
But that's the thing. That's a huge hometown discount. Massive. This guy still could rake in $7 million. Like, he was a point-per-game guy last year.
He did say in his statement that it's still very important to him to be part of a winning organization. And so it's what his perspective of this team in the next couple of years. Do you think they have another chance of going on a run? Last year, the excuse was a little bit of burnout. They had, you know, three long cup runs in a row, and, you know, just kind of caught up with them. This year, they just ran into a better team. And it's just like, we're going to get to the Jets next. So what's wrong with the Jets? Nothing. They're just running into the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, no, there's a lot wrong with the Jets. Let's not jump
a
ahead
A lot
here.
Of it
let's,
has to do with how good the Avs are. So I feel like, I don't know if it depends on what Stamkos thinks of the team.
Yeah, let's stick here with their coach, John Cooper. One of, you know, the highly regarded coaches in the league. Players seem to like playing for him. He's respected. Kind of toes that line of being a hard-ass coach, but also player-friendly. He reportedly has signed a new contract. Does that play into Stamkos? He seems to like John Cooper.
I think so. Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. And I think the timing of it is a message to Stamkos as well. You know, like, we're still committed to winning. This is still the group. We want you to be part of it. So I would have to think that he loves Cooper and wants to play for him.
So funny, people think about going to Toronto. Like, you really want to go play with a dysfunctional core four, core three, if they let Mitch Marner go, and a coach who's just an absolute baby. What's enticing about that? Nothing. Nothing at all. 5 years ago, maybe, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, Nylander, like, they're exciting young kids now. They just seem like bitter old hags. Nobody wants to play in that scenario. The shine has worn off Toronto Maple Leafs. Even if they beat the Bruins, I feel like it's just not a destination anymore like it once was. It was like everybody wanted to play in Toronto. Everybody. Now the rose-colored glasses. They saw behind the curtain, Tim. Coin Dorothy and Wizard of Oz. They saw behind the curtain. All right, moving on. You mentioned the Winnipeg Jets. Well, they went down too in a flaming dumpster fire that I've ever seen. And my question is, why is no one talking about the Winnipeg Jets? Why are they getting a pass this postseason? Because they're just potentially the biggest choke artist this postseason. Like, why isn't anybody talking about it? They finished the season second in the Central Division, second in the Western Conference, second best team. Went into the postseason on an 8-game winning streak. The best defense in hockey. The best goals against. They do it better than everybody else. They added Tyler Toffoli, a playoff veteran. They got Sean Monahan for nothing. He played great down the stretch. What happened? Why did they get a pass just because the Avs won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago and they're a good team? No. The Jets beat the Avs 3-0 this regular season. I know two games were in December, but they played one later on. The total score of 17-4, Tim. They worked them. Wasn't even close. Why don't we talk about the Jets and critique them more? Tell me.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. I mean, certainly, you know.
Well, then what good are you to me?
Toronto obviously has a lot to do with it, but rightfully so. I think we should be criticizing the Jets. Like, this is a team, you and I both picked them, and we had good reason. You look at the regular season matchup, you look at them getting hot at the right time. Colorado didn't look like themselves down the stretch, and here we are. And I think a big part of it has to do with the Hellebuck, although, like we said on Monday, the team in front of them wasn't playing very well. You look at the goals against per game and the Avalanche goal for 5 games they played. 6 goals, 5 goals, 6 goals, 5 goals, 6 goals. A couple of those are empty netters, but still, like, that is not okay.
No bueno.
Yeah, that's not good. Go ahead.
But you have the best goalie in the world, Tim. How is that possible?
So. But
maybe he's not a gamer. Maybe we got Connor Hellebuck all wrong. He is the Toronto Maple Leafs of goaltenders. He plays great in the regular season. Puts up fantastic individual stats. But when it comes to team awards, winning what truly matters, playoff rounds, Stanley Cups, guy sucks. He does. And it's hard for me to say because, yes, his team, you know, hung him out to dry a few times. But when you're Connor Hellebuck, and you're a Vezina Trophy candidate every single year, can you steal us a game? You know what I mean? Make a big save. Was there any highlight reel saves that Connor Hellebuck made this series that you can remember?
No. And that's a great point, too, because even great goalies on bad teams do steal a game. They extend the series. You know, like Sorokin has done it on the Islanders. Like, a lot of bad, good goalies on bad teams have done that. Saros, you know what I mean? And not to say that he's the reason that they lost, but he's the reason that they lost in 5 games. You know,
he's the reason they didn't win. You know what I mean? You're paying him that much money. You have to do something. His last 14 playoff games, this is astounding to me. He's 2-12. 2-12.
Yeah. That's the part, too, that, like, it's not like, oh, maybe he's battling an injury or whatever. Something's not right now. This goes back years. This is not just a this playoffs thing. So.
But at least his contract's up so they can let him walk this year and they can start fresh, get out from under that just dead money. Oh, no, they re-signed with the $8.5 million for 7 years. Woof. Oopsie daisy. Oh, but he's young. No, he's going to be 31. Oh, he's going to be 38 when this contract ends. Oh, oopsie daisy. Whoopsie. My bad. Great goalie. What have I always said? Strong down the middle. Good back end. You don't need a superstar goaltender. Don't put your money there. Put it on the back end and strong down the middle. When are these GMs going to get it through their thick skull, Tim? Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I guarantee you the team that wins the Stanley Cup, strong down the center, good back end. Vegas last year. Did anybody know who the heck Aiden Hill was? Logan Thompson? I didn't. Colorado the year before, Darcy Kemper? Oh, he's a bad idea going to Colorado. What are you doing there? Winning the Stanley Cup. I'm winning the Stanley Cup. That's what I'm doing. So, listen to me. This is Hellebuck stats. This postseason, 5 games, 0.87 save percentage, 5.23 goals against average. Not good. Laurent Brossoit, his backup, played 20 minutes. Guess how many goals he gave up to him? Guess.
20 minutes, 3 goals.
Zero. You're wrong. Zero. Zero goals against. I said they should have started him. I should be coach, GM, player.
I think you said it after game 2, and I said, no, not yet. You stick with Hellebuck. I think after game 3 or 4, for sure. Like, he's done nothing to keep the starting job, you know?
I get the adage, you know, you go with who got you there. I understand that.
But it's 5 games, though?
Like, I know. It's just crazy. They kept throwing him out there. Even Connor Hellebuck's like, come on, bro. I'm not doing it. He's looking down Rick Bonus. Ricky, my number's first on the list. Does that mean I'm starting? You been drinking last night, Ricky? Rick Bonus has to go. He's got to go. You would think. It's chaos. Chaos in Winnipeg. And that's the thing. They have locked themselves into this team. Connor's not going anywhere. Scheifele starts a new $8.5 million deal. Niederreiter's there. You got Ehlers, Iafallo. Like, you have all these guys. Morrissey, Schmidt, Hellebuck. Oh, so much promise. So much promise. It just seems like the Jets of old. You know, they build us up, then they just disappoint us. They're the Toronto Maple Leafs of the Central Canada area. All right, moving on. Another team bites the dust. This one more expected. The New York Islanders. They did better than we thought we did. They were going to do. They squeaked out a game. Double overtime win versus the Canes in game 4 to push it to 5. Carolina goes back home and does what they should have done. They win. You know, back and forth game. Carolina goes up 1. Tie, goes up 1, ties. They get a kind of lucky bounce, 2 goals in 8 seconds, but that's what the Canes do. They take advantage of their bounces, their opportunities, and they put it in the back of the net. Now they're going on to the second round, which we all thought they would. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time on this because the Islanders suck. Who is the best team in the East right now in your eyes? Florida beats Tampa fairly easily. Carolina handles the Islanders fairly easily. The Rangers handle the Washington or the Hershey Bears fairly easily. Who is the best team now? Because you got the Rangers, Hurricanes, and Panthers just sitting there waiting for the Leafs or Bruins to finish off that series.
It's between Carolina and Florida for me.
Interesting.
I'm going to go with Carolina, but you can make the case for either one. I don't think the Rangers are at that level.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree with you, Carolina. I feel like this first round did not answer any questions for me whatsoever in the Eastern Conference. It was just a foregone conclusion that all these series was going to end early. And if anything, it hurt the Rangers that they played the Capitals in the first round. They looked sloppy. They didn't look as good. The Canes at least played a decently coached Islanders team who had a veteran crew who put up a fight at least. Gosh, Washington, I just don't even want to think about it. Oh, they're off. All right, those ones are out. We were asking for some series to get interesting, Tim. Going into Monday night, no series looked promising. The only one that maybe might be a series was Dallas and Vegas. Vegas was up 2-1. We both predicted Dallas to win. Thankfully, our prayers were answered. Dallas won that series. The home team has not won in this series. So technically, it hasn't started yet. Or hasn't started. I can't remember how we say it. They're 2-2. Your Dallas Stars are back in the mix. I think I said at the start of the playoffs, whoever comes out of this series will make the cup. I picked Vegas. You picked Dallas. Or did you say that?
I said that. I stand by it.
What'd you think of game 4? You like that?
Yeah, I was hoping that Dallas would win game 4, but I think in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, Vegas let one slip through their fingers, but they're not going to lose 2 games at home in a row. And they did. And a big part of that is the young guns. It's not Sagan and Duchenne and Pavelski. It's Robertson and Wyatt Johnson.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah. They've got, I think, 3 or 4 points apiece. They're looking really good. And Eichel looking really good across the aisle, too. But I don't know. Something about – I'm still not convinced by Dallas's play. Even tying it up and winning both games in Dallas – in Vegas, I mean, I'm not convinced that they're the team to win the series. I still don't think we've seen their best play. And I think Ottinger is another level. I think their offense was another level. And the fact that they're tied it up is good. But Vegas still seemed like they've been the better team overall through the series.
Yeah, this is a tight series. And that's when two good teams are going up against each other. Neither of them look very good, but they both are dangerous. And you look at the Vegas Golden Knights. The thing that I'm interested to find out, when is Thomas Hertl going to show up? He's played fairly bad. He's dashed four. He's only gotten one goal. He needs to play better. Mark Stone needs to play better. All these guys have just been floating by for the first four games. Yeah, Mark Stone coming off the injury scored his first shift or first period, whatever it was. He's been invisible since then. Jack Eichel has just dragged them to the last four games. He's been the only guy who's been relatively dangerous. So I need to see some more from the bottom three lines of the Vegas Golden Knights. I was all in after the first two games. I was very excited. And it's just been stinky play. But the play that stands out for me is the hits. Jamie Benn, Braden McNabb. My former teammate Braden McNabb just pastes somebody on the sidewall of the Dallas Stars. Jamie Benn just comes over and just lights Braden McNabb up. If this is a regular season, that's a 3-game suspension. But it's a playoff. It is. He just folds him up like a lawn chair. Just buries him. And Braden McNabb, for those of you who don't know, is not a small cat. Like, this guy's 6'4", 220-some pounds. And Ben just pigeon-tosses him. Like, that was the best sequence of hitting I've ever seen in my life. It reminds me of when Bufflin was just dominating guys from the Winnipeg Jets. People were coming at him. He's just shedding them. It was like that, but in the playoffs and more impactful. The Dallas Stars needed that. It was a big point in the game.
What I loved about that game is that second hit doesn't happen without the first. And I don't just mean because one caused the other. I mean that if Ben doesn't see the first hit, he doesn't go out of his way to hit McNabb like he did. And I just love that aggressive, the payback, like, okay, you're going to earn it. Where was McNabb, your teammate, by the way?
Buffalo.
Was he? Yeah.
Braden McNabb, good defenseman. Buffalo churns out good defensemen, then trades him away. Like, even Jake McCabe from Toronto is a good defenseman. Mark Pisek was a good defenseman. Chad Rurito, all these like good fifth, sixth defensemen. Just don't hold on to them for whatever reason. I don't. There's a laundry list of guys. But anyways, anything else of this series? Did they play tonight? Game five?
Yes.
Yep. What do you got now? Does the home team finally take a game? Can Dallas string together three straight wins?
Well, you know what's interesting? What's his name? Cassidy said today that Aiden Hill is going to start this game.
Which is awesome. That is big news.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I like Dallas in this one. I think they're going to win at home, but I still think it goes seven.
Thompson's been giving up the sharp angle shot past his ears. I think he's given up two. You got to watch that.
Yeah, the goal line shot.
That's a Cole Caulfield goal if I've ever seen one. All right, moving on to the series that just keeps on giving. And it definitely lived up to the billing last game. Boston, Toronto, they are 3-2. Toronto, huge win in Boston last night. Overtime winner, Matthew Nyes, 2-1. Joseph Woll started for the Toronto Maple Leafs, as I predicted. Ilya Samsonov will never start a game for the Toronto Maple Leafs again. He is done as a Toronto Maple Leaf. What did you think of this game? Is this the best game you've seen Toronto play?
Maybe I think it's definitely the worst game we've seen Boston play. It was just not a fun game from start to finish. Both teams looked okay during stretches, just disappointing. I think Woll was outstanding. He stopped a couple of really like the Trent Frederick all alone. He just spread his pads and Frederick didn't have the space to lift it up. Like, but Woll was great. He was so good. And he interviewed him after the game and he was like smiling and just relaxed. And he's like, I've been having a blast out there. And that's what you want from a goalie. Swayman's the same thing. Swayman was the only player on the Bruins who I think gave it 60 minutes. And I like the Bruins came out very intense, very aggressive to start the overtime. A couple of chances right away. I thought, okay, it's only a matter of time. Swayman's smiling like he's relaxed during the game. I'm like, hey, they're focused. They're going to end this thing. And a bad bounce. A lot of critique is going towards the Grizzlies of the world, Hampus Lindholm. You might see a different Bruins lineup, but my main thing right now is you have to close this out in game six. You cannot let this go to game seven for obvious reasons. The biggest one is that the doubt starts to creep in and last year's memories start to show themselves again. And you think, okay, here we go again. And that also motivates and excites and just gets Toronto going because they know that Boston is like, oh, here we go again. So you need to close this out in Toronto. What we have working for in our favor is that Toronto is terrible at home. They've been terrible at home for a while. They've been a better road team. So I feel like we're going to see Boston close this out. But if this goes to seven, it's anyone's series. I don't care what happens in game six in terms of how they play and who's healthy. Matthews obviously didn't play last night. So, yeah, you got to close this out tomorrow night.
Does Matthews play for game six?
I think so. Although it's strange because they said it was an illness, but a couple of people, I think Friedman included, one of those big heavy hitters is like, there's something else going on here. Some other injury or some kind of thing that doesn't make sense that that they're not telling us, which maybe we won't find out until the series is over or the playoffs are over. But I think Matthews is back. Although Max Domi played the best game I've ever seen him play last night.
Yeah,
he was like 85% at the dot, something like that, like 9 for 12, something crazy. And he played pretty well. Didn't get any points, although he should have. There's a 2-on-1 that he botched.
With Bertuzzi.
I thought that was going to go in. But it was a great game. Disappointing result, obviously. And got to close it out in six. That's the big thing.
For as bad as Boston played, it was nice that they pulled it to overtime. And Swayman, there's no questioning him.
He's a gamer.
He's stud. Like, absolutely unflappable. And he enjoys it. He enjoys the situation. So they got a good one. Like, he is as good a goalie that they've ever had there in the recent years. Like, he's better than Tuca, better than Timmy Thomas. Like, he's a stud, Tim.
I think you're
probably
right.
He's an absolute stud. Yeah. And he came on our show. Unbelievable. But they need to close it out in six. What was funny is I was watching the Toronto feed. It's amazing listening. Like, I'm on Jack Edwards a lot because he's an absolute homer. It's remarkable the amount of time that they spend talking about Brad Marchand. It's crazy. When he took the penalty, Toronto. Yeah. It's almost distracting. I mean, he took a penalty at the end of the second period. It was a coincidental. So both guys left the ice and Marchand's just standing in the hallway because the Bruins were killing a penalty. The two guys calling the game could not focus on the action. They're like, he hasn't left the ice. That's a bench minor. This is unbelievable. Brad Marchand, what is he doing? The refs aren't doing anything. I'm like, you guys, like, he's just standing in the tunnel watching the rest of the game. There's 23 seconds left on the clock. Every scrum, the ref pulled him down one time. Like, oh, I sarcastically, I hope he's okay. Every time he's on the ice, they're fixated on him. It's amazing that one player has such an impact on a whole city. Everybody focuses on him. And that's when you know you're doing your job. It's him. I know you listen to the Bruins feed and you watch the Bruins, you know, the coverage on, what is it, NESN or whatever. Just move over to the Toronto feed. Use your NordVPN. It's so funny. they go bonkers every time he's on the ice. It's so hilarious. But yeah, it's going to be a big game. I hope Toronto wins so it goes to seven. That'd be so fun.
I'm going out of town this weekend, and so I don't want it. I'm afraid. Well,
reports are that Therese Bergeron has been calling Bruce Cassidy. He wants to play game seven.
I've been waiting for this. I'm surprised.
Or Jim Montgomery, he wants to play game seven. Yeah, he's like, I feel good. So they might dress him for game seven. So stay tuned to that. He's just the biggest selfish player I've ever seen in my life. I played against him for years and years and years. The guy,
I don't think you were ever on the ice with Bergeron, but
a lot, Tim, a lot. All right, moving on. Out west, Vancouver, Nashville. Vancouver won a stunning overtime victory in Game 4, but guess what? Preds came back. This team's not going to die. Vancouver up 3-2. What are you thinking, Tim, in this series? Because it's kind of the forgotten series. Two very good teams. Nashville obviously closed out the season on a tear. The last month and a half, they were the best team in the NHL. Vancouver loaded up. You got Zadorov. You got Lindholm losing their starting goaltender. What's going on in this series, and what does Vancouver need to do to close this son of a gun out?
Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of a strange series. It is a sort of forgotten one. Like you said, if you're not rooting for these teams, if the teams out west, you're paying attention to the Colorado series, the Edmonton series, et cetera, Dallas, Vegas. The big story here is that they went back with Seelovs, Vancouver did, instead of DeSmith. Even though DeSmith is reportedly healthy, he backed him up in the game. He dressed for it. I don't know. I don't know. You have to be the better team. And they haven't been able to do that every single night. And this is the thing that separates Vancouver from some of the other teams in the West, these elite teams, is being able to be more consistently the better team, where Vancouver is like, when they're on, but when they're not on, they're almost not a good team. You know what I mean? Like, there's still...
No, I wouldn't go that far.
When Vegas has a bad night, they're still a great team. I don't think we can say the same thing about Vancouver.
they lost 2-1. Like, it's not like they got blown out. They still played fairly good. They, you know, but yeah, I agree. They only put up what, 18, 19 shots. Like, it's a far cry from the 35-40 that we're used to seeing from Vancouver, but I'm not worried about them. I feel like they're okay. Nashville's a good team. They're a solid team. Roman Josi's a stud. Can we just say that? Like, I every time I watch Nashville, he just jumps off the page. He plays almost a half an hour a night. He's all over the ice. Last night, he scored a nice goal, his first goal. But boy, is he very, very good. And yeah, UC Saros is just as good. So these guys are a hard out, but I fully expect them to win game six. They can't lose again. And yeah, roll with Silvas. He was better than DeSmith. When DeSmith played game two and three, he wasn't, you know, lighting the world on fire and getting shutouts and playing fantastic. He was questionable at best. So Silvas, he'll be the starter from here on out. Unless he falters in the next round, then we'll go back to DeSmith. But you got to finish it off. JT Miller, friend of the show, get on it. All right, Tim. AG1, get after it.
Yeah, before we go any further, let's just check in on AG1. I'm still taking it every morning. I still take my vitamin D3 K2 tincture every morning. It's awesome. Hopefully you guys are trying it out too. AG1 is a nutritional supplement. I've been using it, like I said, we're going on over 2 months now. And I'll tell you what, I've talked about the energy thing. I've talked about the immune health. I said on Monday I was coming down with a cold, kind of low energy. I've never bounced back so quick. I'm usually one of those guys that lingers and I, you know, I let it affect me.
Oh,
and
you are. Oh, yeah. Big time.
I've still have been sleeping great, working out every day, like not having the energy lapses. So it's been great that I think AG1 is playing a big part of that. It does support your immune health. And you can do it too. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/DTG for dropping the gloves. That's ag1.com/DTG. Check it out today.
I noticed it really jacks up my gas.
You got a little rumble in the tummy?
My gas game's out of this world. I remember one morning, okay. What's that?
Okay.
Should we not talk about this?
No, tell us more about your gas.
One morning, the girls woke up and they came downstairs and they go, "It smells like farts and sausage down here." I'm like, "I've been up. I've been around." So yeah, I feel great, but boy,
ripple. That's just the toxins leaving your body.
It is. Just I remember when I played with Brent Burns, he used to stir up all these concoctions. He always, you remember the bullet shake, the little blender? Yeah. He would have them in his backpack and he would plug it in on the plane. He would make shakes on the plane. Fully stocked kitchen. You can get whatever you want in these private planes. Burnsy would bring his own microgreens, his own salads, his own potions and lotions. He'd make these shakes green like AG1. So probably similar stuff going in them. And then he would just smoke bomb the plane. And he thought it was so funny. He would walk up and down the aisle and just like lace it. Like we're talking Vietnam. What's Napalm. That? Napalm everywhere, and he would just laugh and laugh and laugh, and that's it was so bad. It was disgusting. He's the type of guy who would, like, he'd, you know, go take a deuce, he'd videotape the sounds that he was making and send it to everybody. Just a class act, that guy. Just a class act. And then, like, take a picture of the results and send it to you.
Oh no,
it's a lot. Well, drinkag1.com/DTG.
In conclusion,
it's very good for you. All right, let's get to some quick hits, Tim.
Yeah, I really like this. I was reading headlines this morning. So after the Matt Rempe hit on Trevor Van Riemsdyk, John Carlson said after the game, basically complaining about Rempe's, like, you know, we have to have our defenseman able to play without having to worry about being hurt. He's hurt like four different times now, four different people now. And there's a point there. Like, Rempe has played cumulatively, has he even played 30 minutes in his career yet? And he's already...
Isn't Tom Wilson on his team?
Yeah, okay. I'm getting there. But he's already hurt like four players, been suspended, all that. And so Trevor Van Riemsdyk spoke at the end of season presser, and he was asked about that hit. And he took the high road, and I really liked it. He goes, "Obviously sucked. Put myself in a bad spot."
Love the gotta start
be aware of when sucked. Guys like that. Yeah. Got to be aware of when guys like that are on the ice and where they are at all times. Obviously, he got me pretty good. Could have done a better job of protecting myself. I love that he said this instead of taking the moment to take another swing at Rempy.
He didn't want to play the victim. Love that too. He said, you know what? I got to keep my head up. That guy's a unit. Good for him. I know Trevor. I skated with him this summer. Good player. I like that. I like that rather than just complaining and moaning and saying, it's not my fault. You got to protect me. It's like, it's a physical game. Keep your head up. It was a clean hit. Just because Rempy's 6'7" and 240 pounds, does that mean he shouldn't be allowed to play, Tim?
Nope.
No. He still is allowed on the team, and he's obviously being effective. I don't care how many minutes you play. This guy's making a difference, and he injured four guys. Yeah. One of them was illegal. The other three, as far as I know, did not get a suspension, did not get a penalty. So what are you complaining about? Do it. If you're so upset about it, you go do it. It's legal. Keep your head up. I love this. And then the coaches and the other, it's dangerous. Damn right it's dangerous. It's a dangerous game. If it wasn't dangerous, we'd take hitting out of the game. That's just the nature of the beast. It is a man's game. Right, Tim? That's why you don't play it. I had to do it. I'm sorry.
There are people that are like legitimately concerned for me. Like, he's so mean. He's always picking on him.
I know, but it's just so easy. You know,
that's how easy. I know you love me.
Easy target. Speaking of easy targets, coach got fired, Tim. Strange. Another strange. Like Dave Haskell from the Seattle Kraken led this team to the playoffs last year, had a Cinderella story run 2 years ago. Fired from the Seattle Kraken. Gone. Emily Claplin says she was told that at exit meetings, a handful of pretty significant players, Maddie Beignets probably, made it clear to management that they don't want to play for this guy. I don't like him. I don't like him. I'm not going to play here if he's the coach. I'm out of here. Talk about babies. I don't like him. Dave Haskell. I don't know. What do you think of this, Tim? You probably love it. Yeah, I'd
love to know who the players are. The one that was
Maddie Beignets, probably.
Beniers. It was Jared McCann was a name that came to mind because he's been a 40-goal scorer and he's been up and down the lineup and not really finding any consistency under Hextall. So
you think the name Jared's taken a hit because of the Subway guy?
Nope.
I think so.
Okay.
Like, would you name your kid Jared?
No, but I just don't like the name. It has nothing to do with the Subway guy.
But I bet you there hasn't been an influx of kids being named Jared because of the Subway guy.
You're probably right.
He's ruined the game. Name. There's a couple names that you can't touch anymore. Like OJ.
Is there a diary you could like write these thoughts into or a blog? I'll set you up with a blog.
It's called my podcast. Like how many OJs are out there?
Well, no one names their kid OJ.
When he was a stud running back, I bet you there was a bunch of OJs.
Maybe.
He just died. Did you hear that?
No. What?
Yeah, he died. Complicated history. One of the greatest running backs ever. Killed two people, allegedly.
Last thing here. Some of the trophy finalists came through. More breaking every day. They're doing all the finalists now. I'm not going to do our picks. We'll save that for another show when they all come through. But Calder, there's no surprises here. Calder was Bedard, Faber, and Luke Hughes. I think that's who we thought it was going to be. The Norris, Quinn Hughes, Yossi, Makar. I am surprised by Makar. He's the best defenseman in the league. He was not the best defenseman this year. I think there are other guys that you could have made a pitch over Makar. Vezina, Hellebuck, Bobrovsky, Demko. I think Hellebuck is probably the clear winner here, but Bobrovsky wasn't even the best goalie on his own team for huge stretches. And it was that guy, I forget his name, coming to a blank, but yeah. Any thoughts on these nominations so far?
Makar almost led the D-man in scoring. He had 90 points.
Sure. Was Carlson the best defenseman last year in your mind?
Well, he had the most points.
Right. But I'm not surprised that he was nominated. I just don't think he was a top three defenseman this year.
You know who's a little upset is defenseman. Evan Bouchard probably is a little upset.
Yeah.
He had a career year.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's just, whose turn is it? It's Quinn Hughes' turn. So he's going to win the award. That's how it works. And then Hellebuck just lost it because of this playoff round.
It's not supposed to impact the award, right? The postseason?
Where's Swayman?
That's a good question. I think he didn't get as many starts as these guys.
Revenge Stanley Cup. That's what it's going to be. Because when you look at the stats for the goaltenders, like Hellebuck's obviously leading all of them. But like Shesterkin led him in save percentage. Goals against, it was... Like Shesterkin's right up there too. Why is Shesterkin not nominated? Crazy. Oh, that's playoffs. Sorry.
He also had a really tough like first couple of months, Shesterkin. He got better after the holidays.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't really care. The awards have lost their luster. You know what I mean? They really have. I don't pay attention to them like I used to. It used to be such a fun thing. I don't care anymore. Like, moving on. Is there anything else, Tim?
No.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.